Radio Daily. For halfway day, even though most everyone you know said yesterday was Monday. all days off during the week. It's
those fools.
So complex and trickery and whatnots. Welcome to the 4th of September. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from places, you know, it's there. You've got us bookmarked, I'm sure. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the man that's going to walk into today's mandatory meeting with help that everyone can possibly use, that there is podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
I wish everyone would shut up.
That could get it done there. Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
All skeletons are against me. They always have been. Even when I was a child, I was hated by skeletons.
And I don't know why I didn't do anything. What happened, sir?
Not to alarm you, but there's a skeleton inside you right now.
Oh, God. No wonder
I hate me. In 1882, Thomas Edison supplies electricity to the first customers of the Edison Illuminating Company at 257 Pearl Street in New York City. Edison inaugurates its operation by pulling a switch on the Wall Street office of his primary financial backer, much like the switch that he pulled on Nikola Tesla.
Same day, same year, the New York Times becomes the first newspaper to use the electricity generated by the Edison Illuminating Company's idea from Tesla.
1888, George Eastman registers the Kodak trademark and receives a patent for his camera, which uses roll film.
That'll last forever. 1906, Robert Eugene Turner of Norfolk, Virginia, is granted a patent for his typewriter, which he describes as a typewriting machine with a carriage powered by a motor.
1923, the first U.S. airship, the USS Shenandoah, embarks on its maiden voyage.
1951, a speech given by U.S. President Harry S. Truman from the opening session of the Japanese Peace Treaty Conference in San Francisco becomes the first live transcontinental broadcast.
1953, Eugene Arizinski and Nathaniel Kleitman published their discovery of rapid eye movement, or rather Zennemer machine, sleep in an article entitled Occurring Periods of Eye Motility and Non-Committent Phenomena. During sleep in the journal Science.
Same day, same year, Project Moonbase, the sci-fi film directed by Richard Talmadge, starring Donna Martell, Hayden Rourke, Ross Ford, Larry Johns, Herb Jacobs, Barbara Morris, and Ernestine Barrier, is released to U.S. theaters. It's based on a story written by Robert A. Heinlein. You might have heard of him. The film is unusual for its attempting to portray space travel in a somewhat realistic manner and for depicting a future in which women hold positions of authority and responsibility equal to men, and was a great first season MST.
In 1953, things like that were science fiction. That's unfortunate.
That was 1957. Sorry, spoilers. The big reveal there at the end is the president calls, and it's a woman.
Gosh, that'll never happen. Thanks, 2016. 1957, the Ford Motor Company introduces the Edsel amidst a considerable amount of publicity on E-Day.
1964, NASA launches the first of its six orbital geophysical observatory, the OGO-1. The satellites will study the relationship between the Earth and the Sun, if they're still talking, if they laugh at each other's jokes.
1973, Gary W. Boone receives a patent for this first single-chip microprocessor architecture, which he describes as a computing systems CPU.
1998, after accepting a $100,000 check from Sun Microsystems, co-founder Andy Bechtolsheim, Stanford University students Larry Page and Sergey Brin file incorporation papers for Google Technology Incorporated.
I don't think it'll last. 1999, the website of the Ku Klux Klan is anonymously hacked. The site is altered so that visitors are redirected to hatewatch.org, a prominent bigotry monitoring site. The redirect will remain in place for nearly a week. The Hate Watch organization had recently been cited as being critical of just such hacktivism, making this incident as embarrassing to the organization as well as to the KKK. Aww.
2006, at the International Funkausstellung Berlin in Berlin, local authorities raid the SanDisk booth and seize all the MP3 players on display to enforce a court injunction enforcing a SISFL patent on the MP3 format. On September 8th, the injunction will be overturned and the MP3 players will be put back on display. But now everybody's scared.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that there's actually a patent on technology that can produce an MP3, which is one of the reasons why it isn't packaged with all software like Audacity, things like that. 2007, a team led by Sam Levy publishes the complete genome of an individual human for the first time. The genome is 6 billion letters long and belongs to American biologist J. Craig Venter, the founder of the Institute of Genomic Research.
Tiger. I like it. 2009, Amazon.com offers to restore the deleted copies of Animal Farm in 1984 to the Kindles of customers affected by the highly controversial July 17th removal of the titles. The company also offers the users an Amazon gift certificate or check for $30.
Same day, same year, Lionsgate releases the science fiction action film Gamer, directed by Mark Neveldine and Brian Taylor, and starring Gerard Butler. In it, gamers participate in online games in which they control real people via implants. When death matches that pit death row inmates against each other turn out to be rigged, user and slayer must cooperate or lose. Look, it's basically as if Running Man existed in the Ready Player One franchise.
It still could. Birthdays?
Here's to hoping. Max Greenfield, 39 years old, from Ugly Betty, New Girl, and Veronica Mars.
Wes Bentley is 41, from American Beauty, Jonah Hex, Hunger Games, American Horror Story, and Interstellar.
Ione Sky, 48, from Say Anything, Covington Cross, Four Rooms, which is fantastic, But I'm a Cheerleader, and Zodiac.
John DiMaggio is 51. It's Bender and Futurama, Wreck-It Ralph, Zootopia, Joker, and Under the Red Hood. A million different shows that you watch.
And if you get the chance, watch Hey, I Know That Voice. It's a documentary that he did on voice actors. It's amazing.
And if I'm not mistaken, he also played Pops in the animated series for Friday.
Wouldn't surprise me. Does a fantastic Tracy Morgan impression. Damon Wayans is 59 years old, from The Hollywood Shuffle, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka, in Living Color, Blank Man, The Lethal Weapon series, and Known Hollywood Whiner.
Jacqueline Hewitt is 61, an American astrophysicist. She was the first person to discover Einstein rings. And see, she didn't patent them. See there, Edison? Sometimes it's just good to give things to the world.
That's why we have seatbelts. Condi Alexander, 62, from CB4. That's a movie you don't hear referenced very often. There's Something About Mary, News Radio, and CSI Miami.
No longer with us, born this date in 1907, Reggie Nalder, from The Man Who Knew Too Much, The Manchurian Candidate, and his killer performance in Zoltan, The Hound of Dracula.
For those of you who can't see, there's no comma between two of those movies, so I really thought for half a second that The Manchurian Candidate, Zoltan, Hound of Dracula, was a hell of a movie. 1912, Sid Hoff, American author and illustrator, wrote Danny and the Dinosaur.
1919, Howard Morris, he played Ernest T. Bass in The Andy Griffith Show, Gopher in Winnie the Pooh, High Anxiety, and Dr. Savannah in Legends of the Superheroes, of which we did a fantastic commentary track you should listen to.
No kidding. 1919, Exitencio. He's a Disney animator and an Imagineer. He wrote Pirates of the Caribbean and The Haunted Mansion songs and scripts. Without him, many of us wouldn't have a childhood.
1928, Dick York, the original and the most beloved Darren from Bewitched.
Man, that show had a dick problem there for a while. Yep. On CBS, New Big Brother, rerun of SEAL Team, and a rerun of SWAT.
ABC, it's a rerun of The Goldbergs. Schooled, Modern Family, Single Parents, Victoria's Secret Angels versus Bachelor Men on Celebrity Family Feud.
Okay, I heard you say a lot of words there,
yep,
but they can't really be
nope
in that order. Anyway,
that's how it
NBC
happens.
Has new live results for On America's Got Talent, Songland, and Hollywood Game Night.
On Fox, the new MasterChef. Then the cast works on lists of potential enemies after the first day of filming is paused due to a threat on a new BH90210.
CW has Arjana becoming suspicious of Carmel's development. Things intensify between Nell and Bishop on a new Bulletproof and Hypnotize Me.
Freeform is showing The Lion King. No, the animated one.
Oh, good. AMC has John Carter.
Do that. FX, Franklin struggles with the fallout from his actions as his family prepares for the worst on the new Snowfall.
Where the snowfall. FXX has a dog's purpose.
FXM, get out.
I don't want to. IFC has white music on a new Sherman's Showcase.
BBC America, it's Zero Dark 30, which just means it's 12:30 in the morning. No big deal.
Paramount has Step Brothers.
Sci-Fi Channel will be showing Jack the Giant Slayer, a film you and I both forgot existed.
True. TNT has an interesting combination because they've got Batman and Robin, okay, followed by Batman Begins.
All right. USA, Harvey and Samantha embark on a road trip together. Louis finds himself in over his head with a potential client on a new suit. But we're watching the Hallmark Channel because a businesswoman believes she's found the man of her dreams despite a disagreement from her parents. An old high school flame comes back into her life. Her current boyfriend devises a scheme to make himself look better to her parents. Hillary Burton, Paul Campbell, and Tim Conway are all surprised by love.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. When an organized crime boss puts out a one-week-only million-dollar contract on Chad, every killer in the city and some financially strapped cops try to claim that prize. After an attempted hit takes place in Captain Eve's office, Chad is able to take refuge with a peace-loving man-and-note farmer and his daughter in a Hamish village. Wait, is that where the Pied Piper was from? Chad proceeds to disrupt the lives of this pacifistic community. By the time the hired gunman arrives, the formerly peaceful farmers, who Chad has corrupted into the ways of violence, assist him. He will end up in a Hamish paradise. You know, Captain Eve thinks she's got better things to do than deal with this badass. Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
The mail's in.
Don't ask me how. I probably haven't watched any of it for at least 10 plus years, and the only, and then only the German dub, but I think Chad and Abby have to be on. I just listened to the Monday episode and then to the Associatable Monday, which I think got the first and second episode of the show, respectively. Was everybody still in weekend mode, or why didn't they get it yesterday? Keep up the good work. That's from Selgenor, whose name I hope I have said correct. If not, I just give you a new title. Well, most people are still thrown. Like I said, a lot of people yesterday still thought it was Monday, so it's wacky, these whole holiday weekend things. It throws people off, but folks will get there. If folks got last week's, I'm sure they're going to get this week's, and so did you. If you've got an idea, drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or tell us all about it in your remembrances simply by dialing the number of
510-GRD-CREW.
I loved this show as a kid, and it does not hold up.
The Ideas Start Here podcast is a science-based, informative, entertaining view on immunizations and general health-related topics, featuring me, your host, Jack Mankin. Subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, or listen directly on your phone, computer, or any other device from the website www.stchealth.com.
Looks like you got the flu. Looks like you just got the flu.
The Ideas Start Here podcast.
This is Timothy C. Ward, author of Scavenger Evolution, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
The C stands for cool. Prove me wrong, damn it.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book.
What's available at the comic shop, sir?
From Detective Comics, we've got Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, number 5 of 6. Batman vs. Ra's al Ghul, 1 of 6. Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy, 1 of 6. And while the mainstays of the Justice League, Superman, Green Lantern, and Wonder Woman, battled the worldwide infection in the pages of Deceased, or DC East, I see what they did there, a group of other heroes work to stop the impending apocalypse. No matter who they have to kill, Mr. Terrific assembles a motley crew of surviving heroes, including Mr. Miracle, Big Barda, John Constantine, Blue Beetle, and Booster Gold, as they attempt to fight back against the tide of death. Can this ragtag group save the world where the Justice League has thus far failed? In DC East, Deceased, A Good Day to Die, number 1.
Over at Marvel, Amazing Spider-Man Going Big, number 1. Ghost Spider Annual, number 1. Web of Black Widow, 1 of 5. And then grab your hat and come travel light. Adventure lies just around the bend. Three brand new tales no one has ever told until now. Join the greatest creators the Great White North has to offer as we unearth the secret history of the classic team of Puck, Snowbird, Talisman, Northstar, Myrina, Guardian, Vindicator, and Alpha Flight, True North, number 1.
Dynamite Entertainment, Charlie's Angels versus the Bionic Woman, number 3. Death Defying Devil, number 2. Vampirella Red Sonja, number 1. From Boom Studios, we've got Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number 8. Giant Days, number 54. Over the Garden Wall, Soulful Symphonies, 2 of 5. Watch the cartoon if you get the chance. It's delightful. And when the children of Archer's Peak begin to go missing, everything seems hopeless. Most children never return, but the ones that do have terrible stories, impossible stories, of terrifying creatures that live in the shadows. Their only hope of finding and eliminating the threat is the arrival of a mysterious stranger, one who believes the children and claims to see what they can see. Her name is Erica Slaughter. She kills monsters. That is all she does. And she bears the cost. Because it must be done. In Something is Killing Children, number 1.
From IDW Publishing, Samurai Jack, Lost Worlds, number 4. Star Trek Discovery Aftermath kicks off 3. Transformers Ghostbusters, 4 of 5. Over at Aftershock Comics, Descendant, number 5. Knights Temporal, number 3. Midnight Vista, number 1.
That's a great name.
But over at Action Lab Entertainment, it was the wedding from hell, and that was before the bank robbers showed up. What do a conflicted bride, her dysfunctional family, a gang of Elvis-themed crooks, and one relentless sheriff have in common? They're all about to discover love as the ultimate hostage situation and go into the chapel. 1 of 4.
Jeez, it sounds like an Elmore Leonard book. Zenoscope has Bell, Oath of Thorns, 2. Mystere, 1. Oz, Heart of Magic, wrapping it up with 5 of 5. From Dark Horse, a dedicated nurse named Evie Pierce awakens to an unfamiliar world alongside two other women. One a young and snarky superhero, the other a hardened rebel military commander of a post-apocalyptic world. When a mysterious figure begins to hunt them down, the women must work together to survive and discover why they were assembled in Triage, 1.
Over at Danger Zone, you got your Van Blade Season 4, 4, and Voracious Appetite for Destruction, 4 of 5, which was the better Guns N' Roses album. Over at Image, Section Zero wraps up its 6 with 6, Space Bandits, 3 of 5, Spawn, 300, and it's been a few years since the last Commundian saved the world with the help of his faithful Battle Pug, but a new threat arises. The epic tale returns as our favorite barbarian and his trusty overgrown dog renew their quest for insane adventures. Same dog, new tricks in Battle Pug 1.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Remember that teaser for The New Mutants, a film that was brought to life during the Fox era of X-Men and is now under the thumb of the mouse? Well, once Disney picked up Fox, you know, there seemed like a chance that this movie would get canceled, as they already said they had some massive reshoots to do.
And Dark Phoenix not exactly setting the universe on fire.
For a change, The New Mutants is still scheduled for release on April 3rd, 2020, and a new report suggests Disney is going to be removing all mentions of mutants and X-Men from this movie to take away all connections to that franchise.
How's that going
to
work?
I mean, because right off the bat, names need to change, removal of any references to the word mutant or X-Men. And the big thing, though, spoilers, the movie reportedly ends with a reveal that the main villain is actually Mr. Sinister, a classic X-Men villain.
Maybe change his name to Louis Cipher?
Something has to be addressed immediately, though, is if Disney does not want to associate with the word mutants, we've got to have a contest for a new title.
Not Old Weirdos. Ooh, Preteen Dirty Gene Fantastical Forces.
Whatever movie gets released on April 3rd next year, it won't be The New Mutants as we know it. So how are they going to market it? Are they hoping just to break even? What if this turns out to be an actually good movie? I don't know. Maybe hedge your bets, and we can all still make it tie into the X-Men. How about that, Marvel? We'll find out April 3rd when The Modernistic Abnormalities hits theaters.
This fall, the CW's Arrowverse will give us the glory that is sure to be in Crisis on Infinite Earths with the crossover. But that won't be the only time that the heroes come together.
Of course not. There's plenty of fanfic out there.
Serial Box is teaming up with Berlanti Productions to create audio dramas based on The Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl. According to the report, The Flash will go first with an 8-episode serial this fall. Gwenda Bond and Christopher Rowe are slated to write the scripts for that series.
Auditions are when?
Serial Box also provided a synopsis for The Flash's audio drama. Lex Luthor has altered the past so that The Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl are now all bad to the bone, fighting for evil and for an altered timeline to become a permanent fixture in the multiverse. But even as the heroes go rogue, their friends and lovers still half remember the fight to correct the timeline and restore the DC superheroes to the right side of justice.
Wait, how does Lex do this?
Well, that does raise some questions since he's dead, and he also happens to be from another Earth than the one that Flash and Green Arrow call home. So the Flash's 8-episode Serial Box drama will address those questions, or completely ignore them. Maybe messing around with the timeline will clear it up. That's worked before. Or they could just remove all references to DC from it. I hear it's all the rage.
You know the Power Rangers. Japan's iconic superhero franchise, Super Sentai, has been allowed a sort of renaissance in the West recently, and so has Ultraman, thanks to a growing international interest in the franchise. But one of Japan's most enduring hero series, Kamen Rider, hasn't been afforded the same chance. But that could be about to change.
If you have the motivation, I don't think anything in this world is impossible. First, you have to start moving. If you move, something will start.
This past weekend, Kamen Rider Zero One, this year's Rider show on TV Asahi in Japan, launched, set in the future where Japanese society has been augmented by the invention of highly advanced artificial intelligences called Huma Gears, android workers that have supplanted humans in various workforces and become integrated as vital members of society. Zero One follows the adventures of Aruto Hiden, a failed comedian who suddenly finds himself not just the new CEO of his grandfather's AI development business, but the wielder of the Zero One driver, using it in battle against rogue Huma Gears corrupted by a mysterious faction of terrorists looking to destroy human society.
This Joker movie is going to be insane.
And in a move that delighted many a Jason, Toei uploaded the entire first episode of Zero One to the TV Asahi YouTube channel shortly after its broadcast and made it available worldwide. But there is a catch.
Ugh, how big is the paywall?
Not that. The catch is actually that it's not subtitled in any way. So unless you just want to watch crazy fight scenes and explosions with no understanding in the slightest of what's going on, or if you know Japanese, you know, that's how you're really going to understand this. It's also unsure whether or not they're just doing this for the first episode of the new Kamen Rider series, or if it's going to be a regular thing. As the video description states, the episode will only be available until the end of October. But even having the episode subtitled or not, legally viewable across the world hours after its Japanese debut, is a huge step towards a possible future where Kamen Rider starts making strides toward Western shores again.
Follow succeed. The comrade he works with support and help each other. They evolve together. That's why he works.
Unlike Super Sentai, Kamen Rider has a far more distant relationship with English-speaking audiences. After the surprising success of Power Rangers, Saban and Toei tried and failed spectacularly to capitalize with Masked Rider, a goofy adaptation of the distinctly not goofy Kamen Rider Black RX in the mid-90s. In 2009, the CW attempted to try again with Kamen Rider Dragon Knight, an adaptation of Kamen Rider Ryuki that was canceled before the run even ended.
Notice me, Sentai, notice me.
I will only say this once. Walking in the same path is just the test of preserve, but to arrive in the same destination is what's called Tomodachi.
I always let all my Tomodachis die. John Wick-themed escape room, featuring a bar modeled after the Continental, is coming to the UK for a single day.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back for 24 hours.
Players will find themselves within the vault of Assassin's Safe House, the Continental, as you are deemed excommunicado. With a $14 million price tag on your head and time ticking and super assassin storming the Continental, you must use your skills to escape the vault before time runs out.
So much for no business conducted on the grounds then, right?
Once out of the vault, players will be granted access to the opulent and iconic Continental Bar. Styled after the film's world-famous hotel, fans will find genuine props and costumes from the film and a playable preview of the strategy game John Wick Hex ahead of its official release.
Will the weapons sommelier be there?
Now, there's a draw to enter, and successful entrants will be contacted via email ahead of the one-day run of the escape room, which is September 17th. But it's gone after that. Of course, assuming you can handle the cost of admission.
Oh, okay. Do I have to bring one of those damn gold coins that can pay for a cleanup crew or just for a single shot? What the hell is the exchange rate?
No, the cost is not a coin. It's not your soul. All you have to bring is a dog.
And on a sad note, Terrence Dix, one of the most influential writers in Doctor Who's entire history, has passed away at the age of 84. His contribution is legendary. After starting in television writing scripts for The Avengers, no, not that one, the good one, he first joined the Doctor Who production team as an assistant script editor in 68 with the second Doctor's The Seeds of Death. A series of scripts Dix would ultimately play a major part in rewriting that would lead not only to him becoming script editor on the show, but the writer behind The War Games, the 10-part epic that ended Patrick Troughton's time as the Doctor.
Matthew Broderick was so good in that.
Dix helped steer the era of the Third Doctor alongside equally legendary producer Barry Letts, completely reimagining the series as the Doctor found himself momentarily exiled on Earth. Although Dix and Letts would join Pertwee in leaving in 74, he had an important part to play in helping shape the Doctor's future even further with the casting of Tom Baker as the Fourth Doctor after he had departed as script editor. He continued to write for Doctor Who, writing stories like Baker's debut Robot, The Brain of Morbius, Horror of Fang Rock, and State of Decay. His final script for the series was actually one of the show's most ambitious up to that point, The Five Doctors, the legendary 20th anniversary special. In all, he did over 150 episodes, written, edited, all by him, leaving an indelible mark on the program's history.
See, Moffat, there are more important people than you.
Chris Chibnall, Doctor Who's current showrunner, released a statement about Dix's passing through the official Doctor Who website. The lights of Doctor Who are dimmer tonight with the passing of Terrence Dix, one of the greatest contributors to Doctor Who's history, on screen and off. As a writer and script editor, he was responsible for some of the show's greatest moments and iconic creations. As the most prolific and brilliant adapter of Doctor Who stories into Target novels, he was responsible for a range of books that taught a generation of children, myself included, how pleasurable and accessible and thrilling reading could be. Doctor Who was lucky to have his talents. He will always be a legend of the show. Everyone working on Doctor Who sends his family and friends our love and condolences at this difficult time. He is survived by his wife and three children, and our thoughts are with them in this sad time. Because damn, dude, the legacy and the legends you help give us, always going to be there with us. GRD is licensed to the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And if you want to be the second correct person as to where Chad and Abby are, you got to tell us where they are. Drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com or tell us about it in a voicemail by dialing
510-GRD.
And, you know, we'll put all that stuff together at a different time. Yeah.
This is developing into a very bad habit.
The arcade is now closed.
Good night, suckers!
Oh my god, look at this place!
I pushed the wrong button. I'll fix that in post, but meantime...
$50. I've never put $50 in the douchebag jar.
Well, that's really impressive, Schmidt, consider it.
Someone's personalized condoms just came in the mail.
Hey! Jar! $20!
Winston, did you know that NWA didn't stand for Never Walk Alone?
$30. Jar.
Hey, Nick.
No! Jar, Schmidt, jar!
For what?
Ooh, Jess, I just found a Groupon for hypnosis lessons. Think about what you can do with that. Sex stuff.
Jar.
Look, guys, has anyone seen my good pea coat?
Jar!
Have you seen my sharkskin laptop sleeve?
Jar.
Darn it. Has anyone seen my croquet cleats? Hey, Jess, have you seen my other timepiece? Nick, I came up with the best name for an uncircumcised penis. Bishop in a turtleneck.
Blah, jar.
Damn it! I can't find my driving moccasins anywhere!